Jonathan Clements and John Musker. Most of the Disney animators had not been enamored of Katzenberg, but they now credited him with creating a golden age of Disney animation, and, of course, they responded to the incentives of money. For years, Disney animators had worked for modest salaries. Very few made more than $100,000, which was one reason they resented the huge money Katzenberg had been earning from their work. And now Katzenberg was talking about doubling, tripling their salaries, in a few cases, even talking about deals in the seven-figure range. Suddenly, animators were rushing to hire agents, lawyers, and business managers. In this sense, Katzenberg's departure had a direct economic impact on Disney. Even before DreamWorks had created a single animated feature, it had driven up Disney's cost structure by millions of dollars. Eisner was determined not to let anything interrupt the juggernaut of Disney animation. Pocahontas had opened in mid-June and grossed $141 million domestically. The Hunchback of Notre Dame was coming out for the summer, to be followed the next year by a musical version of Hercules, and an ambitious schedule of animated features was already in the pipeline. To keep star animators John Musker and Ron Clements happy, Eisner finally green-lit their proposal for Treasure Island in Space, an idea long resisted by Katzenberg that went back to the first animation Gong Show meeting. Although animation was one area where Eisner had specifically excluded Ovitz, he now asked him to help retain key animators. As Ovitz later described the situation, "Michael would call me constantly. Can you save this? Can you handle this? Can you save that? Can you do this?" Ovitz encouraged animators to display their art in the commissary and organized gallery-like openings every 4 to 6 weeks. Even though Eisner ridiculed the exhibits, the animators seemed to enjoy them. Ovitz met with key animators individually and tried to address their concerns. He threw a party for all the animators at his home, featuring guided art tours of his art collection. The more Ovitz ingratiated himself with animators, the more Eisner seemed to resent it. When he saw the bill for the party, he criticized Ovitz, saying it was too expensive and a waste of money. "Besides," he added, "Roy didn't like the party. He said it was rude that you wouldn't let people in your house." Ovitz thought that was unfair. The dinner had been served outdoors, but the house was open, and the art tours took people through the house. Later, Ovitz asked Roy what he thought about the party, and he said he'd really enjoyed and appreciated it. Was Roy being truthful or just polite? Ovitz had no way of knowing. Roy had criticized the party to Eisner and said he wasn't aware of any art tours. Thomas Schumacher did take some animators who wanted to see the art into the house through the kitchen. As Ovitz later described the process, "To his credit, Jeffrey was very tenacious at trying to romance these people. And it is not difficult to shake the relationship of a creative person, and Jeffrey was expert at it. We were in a constant fight with DreamWorks at the beginning. These kinds of things take up unbelievable amounts of time because, unlike other people who do it, I never did nor will I ever do what we call touch-and-go relationships, which is where you go meet someone, you salvage it through whatever means necessary, and then you just don't talk to them again. Every time I went after one of these people, I made them my client, so I